Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. If you'd like to follow along, this can be found in the Pew Bibles beginning on page 663. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For the waters shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Beloved of God, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel, the Good News, according to Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read actually just verses 1 through 6. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On January 12th, 2007, at 7:51 in the morning, a man walked into a Washington, D.C. metro stop, opened up a violin case, pulled out his violin, tuned it for a moment, and then began to play. Over the course of the next 45 minutes, he played his violin as a little over 1,000 people walked by, with only about 6 or 7 out of that 1,000 stopping to listen for any meaningful length of time. At one point, a child stops to listen, but is pulled away by her parent, right? But even so, as she's being pulled away, she continues to twist and contort herself to keep listening and watching as much as she can. Over those 45 minutes, about 20 people on their way past tossed some money into the violin case at the violinist's feet as they hurried by for a grand total of $32 as he played through six Bach musical pieces. 2 days prior to that, to hear the same man play the same music on the same instrument, you would have had to have worked hard and maybe even pulled some strings to find tickets to a sold-out concert hall in Boston where the ticket prices averaged over $100 each. The violin that was played at that concert hall and then a few days later in the middle of that metro stop was a 300-year-old Stradivarius violin valued at over $3 million. And the man was Josh Bell, a world-renowned violinist. One of the world's best violinists, playing some of the world's most beautiful music on one of the most beautiful instruments ever made, showed up in the middle of the hustle and bustle of a subway station, right there in the middle of everyday life with all its comings and goings. And the thing is, you can't blame the people moving and rushing past, right? You can't blame the parent pulling her child away. Everyday life is filled with important and necessary commitments. And who knows what sort of day anyone was having or on the way to having. It's a subway stop, after all. A long-awaited and hoped-for job interview. Or trying to make that connection in time to have that one chance to catch up with an old friend. Or that parent, and it's just been one of those days, even though it's not even 8 in the morning. Right? Who knows? Any number of things. You can't be too quick to criticize because you never know, right? And who knows? Given everything, maybe that music, even just that moment as they were entering or exiting the subway, even that little bit that they were able to hear as they rushed on by was enough. And just what they needed in that moment to help them get through or get on with whatever was coming next. Just enough, maybe just enough of a taste of something beautiful and joyous to keep humming to get you through the day. And yet, at the same time, if you were one of those passersby and you found out later what you had walked on past, wouldn't you also maybe even at the same time just say, "Ah, if only I had known and taken even just a minute longer just to stop for just a little bit." John the Baptist has shown up. He was that voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And everyone went out there to meet him, baptisms and repentance. The coming of the Lord and the nearness of the kingdom of heaven proclaimed with such immediacy and passion and conviction, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lamb of God, finally. And now here it's 8 chapters later from all of that in the wilderness. 8 chapters later when we next encounter John, and he is in prison. Not surprising, really, right? People like him rarely curry favor, right? You can only call the powers that be a brood of vipers so many times, right, before they want to make sure you and everyone else knows you can't go around doing that sort of thing. You can only get specific about sin so many times before it gets too uncomfortable. And so John is in prison. And he's heard what Jesus has been up to. And he has some of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" Does anyone else find this at least a little strange? Or maybe even concerning? This is John, the one who was sent by God to prepare the way, to proclaim that the Christ has come. John, who was there, who baptized Jesus and was right there when the heavens opened up and the Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. John the Baptist is having some doubts. On the one hand, right, if John the Baptist is wondering, what hope do any of us non-prophets have? And on the other hand, though, can you blame him? Much like all those passersby in that metro station, a lot was going on in John's life, and now he was in prison. And there are some pressing life matters for him at stake. Not only that, the message John was sent to preach was that the kingdom of heaven, it has come near. Not that it was going to come sometime in the ambiguous future, but has, as in it has already come near. It is here. And then there Jesus was, being baptized by him. He laid his hands on Jesus, and the skies opened up, and they saw the Spirit coming down, and they heard the voice of God say, "This is my Son." But now some time has passed, and John has found himself in prison. Seems things didn't quite turn as upside down as he had maybe thought and certainly hoped, at least not in the right way. No messianic fire to purge everything. No earth-shattering repentance turning everything on its head. The same old tired kingdoms of this world are still in charge. Certainly, at least in charge enough to put him away. Sure, Jesus went off and has been doing some preaching and healing. That's nice and good and all, but well, there's still plenty of bad fruit and rotten branches and chaff getting into everything. Maybe I got a little too excited. I do tend to jump the gun and overcommit, you can imagine John beginning to think. And so he sends his disciples, perhaps still with some glimmer of hope, or maybe is that desperation, right? It's a fine line sometimes. Or maybe just with that kind of resignation you have when you've begun to expect that your expectations were wrong. Are you the one? Or should we, just keep waiting, longing for another? Are you the one? Look, are you or not? Whatever, I just need to know. Our friends in that DC metro station rushed past that in-breaking beauty that was right there for all sorts of reasons, all sorts of really good reasons. But at the root, I suspect, was mostly because it was not what they expected that morning. You don't go to a subway stop to hear some of the world's most beautiful music played on one of the world's most beautiful instruments by one of the world's greatest musicians. Unless, of course, you've trained yourself to listen and look. And maybe even learned a little bit along the way to expect the unexpected. You can find a video of that subway concert online. And towards the end, there's this one person. There's this woman who stops and stands there right in the way of everybody moving past. Right? And there's a time-lapse video that's a pretty stark contrast of her standing still with blurs of people moving all around her. When Josh Bell finishes a particular piece of music, she moves towards him and says, "I've seen you before. I saw you play at the Library of Congress." I doubt that she was expecting this when she went into the station that morning, but she had at some point developed an ear for this sort of music and knew this was something special going on. And then she comments, "Something like this can only happen in a city like this." She's been around enough to know that the unexpected does happen. And so she knew to stop. She knew she was witnessing something beautiful right there in the most unlikely of places. Jesus gets the question from John's disciples, "Are you the one? Or should we keep waiting? Keep going about our business?" And he says to them, "Go tell him. Go tell John. Tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Go tell John what you hear and see. It might not be in the way you expected, but if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, it's happening. And it's happening. The people on the margins are being brought in. Lives are being rescued. Communities are being resurrected. Faith is finding a foothold where it once was absent. Hope is sparking up here and there, even like a stubborn match or a candle. Hearts are changing and turning outward towards others. Life is being found in lives that once seemed only deserts. Maybe not in the big, spectacular ways that you expected. Maybe not in the places you expected. But don't be deceived, Jesus says. It's happening. If you just have the ears to hear and the eyes to see. And so blessed is anyone, he says, who takes no offense at me. Blessed is anyone who learns what to listen and to look for, who learns how to listen and look. If Christmas does anything, it reminds us each and every year. Right? Because, boy, we need to be reminded each and every year that when God shows up, it is rarely the way we would expect. We expect halls of power to shake and bow down, and we get shepherds and animals. We expect validation, and we get calls to repentance. We expect a mighty king, and we get a baby. We expect a once-and-for-all showdown of good versus evil, and we get a family fleeing as refugees to another land. We expect a conquering warrior, and we get a crucified itinerant preacher. And so no wonder we would join with John's question, are you really the one who is to come? Or should we keep looking and waiting for someone else? To that question, Jesus says, listen to what you have heard. Open your eyes to what you have seen. And to John and all of us who are sometimes, for whatever reason, stuck in a place where we can't hear and see, Jesus sends us each other. Go tell one another what you have heard. Go share with one another what you have seen, that we all may better learn to hear and see. Tell each other of those times of grace where grace broke in, where something holy, beautiful, and beautifully holy showed up out of nowhere. Go and tell of that time when your eyes were opened just a little bit more to see, maybe even just a glimmer more of God's beauty there in the everyday, of when you found grace enough to get up one more day and give it one more go, of when you found yourself loved and welcomed in spite of everything that you could or could not control, of when you heard that still, small voice, so quiet and yet so loud, loud as a bell, of when new life was breathed into your life, of when the miracle of reckless generosity truly was good news, of that time when you found yourself compelled, even if and maybe especially if, you couldn't really explain why, but compelled nonetheless to just stop for a moment and marvel at it all. Go and tell. Help each other learn to listen and look for, to know that Jesus. Help each other learn to listen and look for, to know that Jesus is the one who was and is to come. The big cataclysm of the kingdom of heaven, come near, so often shows up in the intimate and personal, doesn't it? And so this season of Advent is about waiting, learning how to wait even, with eyes and ears tuned and being tuned with expectation. Not because it's not yet happening, but because that's how we learn to hear and see, to be attuned to what is happening. Those surprising instances of beauty and, dare we say, of holy joy, of God's grace showing up in the middle even our everyday. One of the liturgical traditions of the season of Advent, the third Sunday, this Sunday, third Sunday of Advent. Can you believe it? Third Sunday of Advent is often called Gaudete Sunday. And Gaudete is Latin for rejoice. This is Rejoice Sunday. It's the Sunday of the pink candle, right there in the middle of all the purple of the other Sundays. Traditionally, Advent was a season of leaning into the, and still is, of leaning into the longing and acknowledging our waiting for God to make things right. At times, a season even of repentance and fasting, much like the season of Lent, a sort of season of dry, dusty wilderness. But in the middle of that arose Gaudete Sunday, bright, pink joy, right in the middle of the dark, purple longing. At his second advent, there will be no mistaking that Jesus has come and that he is here. In the words of Isaiah, the mountain of the Lord and the holy city there for all to see. Make no mistake about it. But we who are still waiting, in this in-between time where Jesus described this kingdom that is so near, more often than not with images of seeds and yeast, things growing under the surface, bubbling up here and there, and the stories of the need for watchfulness. We are reminded that faith is less about learning a list of beliefs and more, much, much more about learning what to listen for and where to look. Learning how to listen and how to see. That in Jesus the kingdom really is near. That repentance really is possible. In all those ways that turn lives completely upside down, in all those ways they give you just enough to keep and hold you in all your comings and goings. If the seasons of Advent and Christmas remind us of anything, if these holidays are indeed to be for us holy days, it's that Jesus shows up in holy and wholly unexpected ways and places. And so the question for us is, will we hear it? Will we see it? Will we see it? Will we learn to see it when Jesus shows up? Not just in the glitz and the glam, but in the tired, dry and dusty. Not in a concert hall with hundreds of dollar tickets, but a subway stop. Not in the halls of power, but there among the accused. Not in a palace, but a manger. Not in a sold-out stadium, but on a cross. Will we see him when he shows up in the faces of the poor, the lonely, those of us in a prison of one kind or another? Or in the midst of the hustle and bustle, or the tired and uninspired? Will we see it when he shows up in the mundane and the exhausted, just trying to get through the day? Will we see Jesus when he shows up in the immigration courts and the refugee camps? Will we see him hanging out with all those that we still crucify today? Will we see Jesus in the face of the one struggling with addiction or depression? Or in that awkward longing of the one wondering and waiting to hear of a diagnosis? Will we see Jesus when he shows up in the life of a teenager who just found out they're pregnant? Or in the face of the kid who doesn't feel at home even in their own skin? Will we see Jesus when he shows up in the one who is afraid to go to school? Or the one afraid to go home? In the face of a veteran who's come home with all the scars of war? In the assisted living facilities and in the face of the person who's going to forget you were there 5 minutes after you leave, will we learn to listen and see when and where Jesus shows up? Will we have ears to hear and eyes to see those places where the kingdom is oh so near? Be watchful. Eyes and ears opened with expectation.
And then voices and lives to share what we have seen and heard, that weak hands may be strengthened, feeble knees firmed up, fearful hearts encouraged, eyes opened, ears unstopped, the lame leaping, the speechless singing, that streams may be found in the desert, and a gospel that truly is good news to the poor, and the poor in spirit. Take heart, beloved of God. Take heart. Open your ears and eyes, for this is the good news. That Jesus, the one who is to come, has indeed come. The kingdom is near. Hear and see. Go and tell. So I invite us now to do just that. I invite us now to tell, to open our mouths and lift our voices as we sing "The Desert Shall Rejoice," hymn number 18. Please rise in body or in spirit.